Thank you, sir. Well, good morning. Good morning. And Merry Christmas. It's good to be with you guys this morning. My name is Darren Fennell, and I'm overseeing the children's ministries here at Church of the Canyons. And this is a great time of year. I love this time of year. There's so many great traditions that I think we've developed as a culture and as families that we get to enjoy. And I love all those things, but I think really the biggest thing that I enjoy is that we get to celebrate Jesus. You know, we get to celebrate Jesus all year long, but this is a special time where we do get to focus in on certain aspects of his life. And, you know, we find it even in our culture as a whole, too. I was just in Walmart a couple of days ago, and they were playing one of the songs that we were singing earlier today as we're shopping, a song of praise to Jesus. And I just thought, that's very unique. And so it's really an exciting time. I hope you guys are excited about this time of the year as well. This morning, we're going to jump into a passage that is very familiar. We've already talked about it a little bit. It's this idea of the angels' announcement to the shepherds of the birth of Christ. And it's going to be in Luke chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 8 through 14. And like I said, this is a very familiar passage. You've sung songs about it. You've heard it read numerous times. You've seen skits about it over and over and over again. And the problem with familiar parts of Scripture or familiarity in general is that it can sort of begin to lose its impact and its freshness. And that's a danger. So I'm happy to spend time in this passage and look at this this event. But what I want to do is I want to pull something out of this passage that is universal. It's a concept that I think is always timely, always relevant, and it's the idea of peace and Jesus as the Prince of Peace. Because that's really what we want to celebrate this Christmas season, is that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And that means something for our world, and it means something for us individually as well. And so I really want to zero in on that and focus in on what that means for us. So let's go ahead and read the passage, and then we'll talk a little bit about that. Starting in verse 8, Luke chapter 2 says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" You know, as I was thinking through this passage and just the Christmas season in general this past week, I was really thinking back on my childhood and some of my favorite Christmas childhood memories, and I have a lot of them. I was very blessed, I think, to have a family that valued family time, and we really spent a lot of good time during Christmas getting together and enjoying one another's company. One of the things that the traditions in my family was, on Christmas Eve, we would get everybody together. So that would be all the aunts, all the uncles, all the cousins, my grandmother, my parents. We'd all get together and we'd go down to my grandmother's house, and we'd celebrate Christmas Eve all together. And it was a great time because all the aunts and uncles would all bring gifts for all the nieces and nephews. So you'd walk in the house, and that front room was just overflowing with gifts. I mean, you could hardly find a space to walk to get from one room to the next, because there were just gifts everywhere. And as kids, we'd walk into that with our eyes just gigantic, just so excited about what might be for us. The parents would never let us touch the presents. But we'd walk up and we'd kind of, you know, look through and we're looking for our names on the name tag and trying to scope out where our stuff is. And then they would make us wait and we'd have to eat dinner first. And we'd sing some songs too. And we're like, okay, all right, come on, let's get on with the presents. And then eventually they'd allow us to tear into the gifts. And it was just a blast. We, you know, kids are just throwing wrapping paper all over the place. It's all over the floor. Eventually, once all the wrapping was done, or the unwrapping was done, we'd have our annual paper fight, where everybody would just grab that paper, roll it up in tight little balls, and we'd just start throwing it at each other, and there's papers flying all over the place. The only rule there was that we couldn't hit Grandma, because Grandma was sitting in the middle of the room all by herself, defenseless, and you didn't want to hit Grandma, so that was the only one rule. But we had a great time those evenings. And then what we would do after that is my family, we'd get packed up, we'd get into our car. My grandma's house was down in Sun Valley, so not too far from here. We lived in Santa Clarita, so we'd drive back. And that just seemed like the longest drive in the world, because we're thinking about, you know, we want to get home, we want to get into bed, and we want to wake up and do this all over again in the morning. So we'd eventually get home. I'd climb into bed, and I can just remember literally shaking with anticipation. The adrenaline's flowing, just thinking about, you know, what that morning is going to look like. I'd finally fall asleep, and I would wake up before the sun would come up. And my sister and brother, I have an older brother, younger sister, they would do the same. And we would sneak out to that front room, and we had very generous parents. And that room was just filled with gifts. And they would always leave one gift that was unopened, that was unwrapped. So it was a big gift that was unwrapped that each of us knew we got one of those things. So it'd either be like a bike or a skateboard or a dollhouse or something like that. So we'd go out and we'd check that out and we'd kind of compare gifts with each other. But we couldn't touch anything else. But now we're dying because we're like, oh, what else do we get? So we'd try to wake up the parents and they would not let us unwrap the gifts. At least, they would say, at least until the sun came up. We're like, come on, really? You're going to make us wait till the sun comes up? But they did. Eventually, we would get up and we would enjoy that time. We'd all gather together. We'd have some Christmas music in the background, opening gifts, enjoying each other, enjoying the gifts that we got. And there was a period where you just kind of realized, like, wow, this is really good. You know, things just seemed settled. Things seemed at peace. Things just seemed right in that moment. And I think back on those memories, and I'm just really thankful to have been able to experience that. And those memories sort of hint at a concept that I want to pull from this passage, and that's the idea of peace. And as you think about the Bible references this pretty often. And in one version, the word is actually translated 370 times throughout the whole Bible. So it comes up pretty frequently, pretty often. And here's different ways that it's used. It's used to discuss the settling between warring parties who are brought to peace between one another. It speaks of sort of a tranquility or a peace of mind where you're sort of at rest and you feel a sense of peace. Interpersonal peace, where there's no more turmoil between individuals, but there is peace between people. It's also used to describe unity in the church. You know, the church is a body; it's a family. It's not meant to include infighting and bickering and those kinds of things. There's meant to be peace or unity within the church. And also, in reference to the future experience of heaven, it says that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Then when you look at the Old Testament, there's a similar concept here, which is often referred to by the word, and you've probably heard this before, but it's the word shalom. Okay, so shalom is the word that sort of captures the same idea. It has to do with peace, and shalom has a very, very wide range of meanings. It's used in all kinds of different instances, and today if you were to go to Israel and walk down the street, you would very easily be greeted with a shalom. It's a greeting. When people depart from each other, they say shalom. It just means peace, well wishes, those kinds of things. But when you break it down, the basic meaning is this: of wholeness, well-being, health, or completeness. Now, this concept, when you think about this concept of peace, is it not something that our hearts long for? Isn't it something that we wish could be the case permanently? You know, why is it not? Why is it not the case? Why don't we get to experience that universal peace that doesn't go away? You know, why can't we have Christmas morning all the time kind of thing? Well, we live in a broken world, and peace is not yet a reality. But we long for it. And we look at our families and we see distress. We look at our own lives and we see distress. We look in our communities and we see distress. We look in our nation and in our world, and there's just distress all over. This idea of permanent peace is nowhere to be found. And sometimes we think, you know, oh, if I could just get the right job, or if I could just marry the right person, or if we could just elect the right public official, then we might be able to experience universal peace. But you know what? The reality is, it eludes us. It doesn't matter what it is that we seek to find this peace from, it eludes us. But this message, this story about peace coming with Jesus tells us that indeed Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he will bring lasting peace to this world. And we have the opportunity to share in that. So we're going to look at that a little bit this morning. First of all, let's look at the passage and let's just look at how it starts off. In verse 8, it says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." The setting is a very basic, simple setting. The night was much like any other night that these shepherds had experienced. It was probably very dark. The stars were probably well lit. It was probably pretty cool. You could probably hear the bleating of sheep off in the distance. And these shepherds stood on alert, waiting and watching to see if any danger would come in to try to steal, kill, maim the sheep. But you could imagine that there were long periods of time where there was just no activity. And it might have been pretty hard to try to find ways to pass the time. But this was just an innocent evening. It is interesting, though, that where they were watching over this flock, it was near Bethlehem. Bethlehem is just south of Jerusalem, and so it's likely that these sheep were probably going to be used for slaughter. Because at the temple in Jerusalem, Jewish worship required sacrifice of thousands of animals. And so these shepherds were watching over sheep that probably were eventually going to be slaughtered in temple worship. But you could also imagine that these men had some idea of Jewish history. And in fact, they probably had some ideas of some of the prophecies that came up in the Old Testament. One that would have been particularly close to them was Micah 5:2, which actually refers to the area or the village where they were at. It says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days." So there's this prophecy that in the it's not even a city, it's a village. It's a small village, Bethlehem. And yet, it's very possible that these shepherds understood that there was going to come from God a ruler whose origin was from of old, whose origin was from ancient days. In fact, a prince of peace. They may have been very aware of that, but I doubt that they had any idea that that night was going to be the night that that would be fulfilled. In the middle of this innocent evening, a terrifying interruption takes place. Verse 9 says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear." Now, whenever an angel shows up in the Bible, people are terrified. It says that they appear as dead men. They are paralyzed with fear. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, saw a vision of a war taking place in heaven. And just the vision of that, it said it made him sick for days. So when the veil of the heavenly spiritual realm is pulled back, it's a drastically impactful occasion. So this angel appears, and all of a sudden, this night, which was cool and dark and quiet, now appears like bright noonday. And they're terrified. The King James Version says they were sore afraid. And I have no idea what that means. But I think it's pretty scary. I think that's basically what they're getting at. So these guys are scared. They're afraid. Now the interesting thing here is that the angels come very quickly with a comforting announcement. Verses 10 through 12, the angel says to them, "Immediately, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." The thing that I want to clue in on here is the fact that good news of a great joy was to be for who? All people. The angel was bringing good news that was for all people. It's good news that's for the inner city single mom. This would be good news that would be for the well-dressed man on Wall Street. It'd be good news for your secular coworker. It's good news for those who are caught up in false religions. It's good news for your son. It's good news for your daughter. It's good news for me. And it's good news for you. Christ the Lord would be born. And I wonder, when they heard this, do you think they understood that this was the fulfillment of Micah 2? Who knows? Who knows if that's what they would have understood. But they at least understood that good news had been brought to them. Finally, an exhilarating hope. Verses 13 through 14. It says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Now, here's where it gets kind of confusing. Because the verse says that in response to the birth of this son, that there would be on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And we look at our world and we say, peace? I don't see it. Where is that peace? It's missing. It's not here. But the fact is that Jesus came initially to bring peace with God. Romans 5:1 says that since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace that Jesus brought at his first coming is the kind of peace that allows us to have a restored relationship with God. Because the fact is, part of the reason why we don't experience peace is because of what choices we've made. We've made the wrong choices. We've chosen to not look to God, to not put God first. We've chosen our own way. We've chosen our own will. We've chosen our own purposes. The Bible says we've all done that. And because of that, there is no peace with Him, with our Maker, with our Creator. That peace is gone. We forfeited it. We've lost it. And Jesus comes so that we might have peace with God. He dies on the cross to take our punishment. He's raised to life to guarantee that that was an acceptable sacrifice, and He offers Himself so that anyone, all people who accept that message, who receive Jesus Christ and what He's done and who He is, they will receive peace with God. That's the good news. That is good news. Now, once you do that and you receive that peace with God, it doesn't mean that your life is perfect. It doesn't mean that everything becomes peaceful. You still have to face the troubles of this world. But the Prince of Peace has promised that if you have embraced Him and accepted Him and received Him during His first arrival, that He will receive you on His second arrival. And He will bring you into that place where there is that universal, eternal, unchanging shalom or peace that we long for. So embrace Him now. Receive peace with God. When He returns again, He will receive you into that place where that eternal shalom will be enjoyed forever. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Listen to this. This is not yet come. "Of the increase of His government and of peace, there will be no end." It will continually get better and better. "To establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." So as you think about this Christmas season, you think about the coming of Jesus as a baby. Remember, He came to bring peace with God. And when you receive that, you have the wonderful hope of a future peace that will never fade, that will never fail, and that will last for eternity. And that truly is good news. Let's pray. God, thank You so much for the Scriptures that reveal to us how it is that we can come to know You. And thank You for Jesus Christ and the life that He led that fully pleased You when we failed to do that. Thank You for His death on the cross, which ultimately paid the price for the sins that we committed that have forfeited peace with You. I pray that we would embrace that, receive that, and be restored to You. And then, God, put in our hearts a joy that looks not to this world to receive peace from the things that this world can offer, but ultimately to long for the day when You will establish the new heavens and the new earth where we will get to enjoy fellowship with You and eternal peace forever. the way that you intended it from the very beginning. And so we just ask this for Jesus' sake, in his name. Amen.